Comic Timing is proudly sponsored by the New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd to 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPGs, MMOs, toys, movies, TV, celebrities, and more. Guest of honors include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, and George Perez, with many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, please visit nycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advance purchase at nycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need.
Comic Timing is a proud member of the Comics Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 25 of Comic Timing, a comics podcast devoted to the average comic book fan from the average comic book fan. Joining is a rotating panel of guests and myself, Ian Levinson, discuss whatever comes to mind, time after time, here on Comic Timing. Well, we made it, folks. It's episode 25 of Comic Timing. And what better way to celebrate the episode than to be joined by the New York Rental Car Riders. That's right, Tony, Mitch, Denise, and myself get together to discuss CGS episode 200 in depth and our happy trek there, all thanks to MapQuest.
New York Rental Riders away!
Here now, Comic Timing. Hey there, folks. My name's Ian Levinstein, and welcome to episode 25. I've been waiting to say that for a while, of Comic Timing. For those of you who tuned in earlier this week, I thank you very much for doing so, as Damian is probably thanking you for that also. We had Rogues Gallery number 2 with Dr. Doom earlier this week as a mini-episode, and here we are with episode 25, and there'll also be a special episode about a day or two after this one's released, but I'm keeping that secret for now. You're just going to have to wait and see what we have planned for that. But joining me today are the New York City rental car riders, as it were, all the guys who packed themselves into that van, and I'm joined by Tony Guagliardo, who is known as Mobile Home on the CGS forums. Tony, what's going on?
How's it going, Abe?
Doing pretty well over here, minus the rain, but at least I'm inside.
That's right.
Also joined by Denise Granda of the Birds of Geek podcast. I have now officially finished my set of Birds of Geek. Now I've had Amy and Denise on, so Denise, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing pretty well over here. Like I said, now that I have my complete set, I'm a happy man. I won't put you in, like, Mylar or anything. Don't worry.
Set.
Yeah. I'll keep you out of the box. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We got also joining us Mitch Montgomery, who is Beastbone on the Comic XP forums on Comic Timing and all that other stuff, considering there's about 20 forums on there. Mitch, how are you?
I'm great.
Good to have everybody here. So, yeah, all four of us took the trek up to CGS 200 this past weekend, and I gotta say, it was definitely more than I was expecting. That was a lot of fun to have the entire experience there, meeting everybody and, you know, getting to meet all those guys that you had talked to for ages online and finally get to meet them in person. So we're pretty much just going to be going through our take on the event and our take on mini conventions in general, whether or not they'd be able to be successful in the future and whether or not you just have to go to, you know, just a small convention like this, barely even a convention, to get the convention experience. But I'll start it off first with Tony. Tony, give me your broad sense of what you experienced with CGS 200.
I thought it was fantastic. I was impressed by how well organized it was, and kudos to Brian for setting it up. And you get there and the guy's not stressed out at all, which I couldn't believe. If it was me, I'd be a nervous wreck, you know, making sure everybody's happy and making sure everybody gets their door prizes and all that. But this guy was calm as a clam, and everybody was in a good mood, and it was a pleasant day, and it's good people. It was perfect all around.
Yeah, we got lucky that it happened that weekend and not this weekend, or else we would have been, you know, riddled with colder weather and rain from the looks of things. So we got very lucky on that. On that
this weekend
sense.
Is a Comic-Con, so I might have been torn.
Oh, boy.
This weekend.
Yeah, you got the Big Apple
Comic-Con. Mini New York Comic-Con.
Yeah, this one's just a Big Apple Comic-Con, right? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and although you do get to have some of the big names on there, John Romita Jr. and John Romita Sr. both involved with that, so that'd be kind of fun. Denise, how about you? You finally got to meet your Birds of Geek partner. What was that like?
I was extremely nervous at first. I'm sure she was.
Yeah, I heard that Amy was pacing the floor hoping that you'd like her in person as much as you like her over Skype.
Oh, God.
Like a first date?
No, sorry.
Well, no.
No, 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 no.
They did have their first date with the Peter Rios puppet, but that's something to talk about later on. But so, I mean, getting to meet all these people, getting to meet all these folks that you maybe only talked about, online and in forums and stuff. I mean, were these people pretty much the same in real life as they were on the forums, or were you surprised by anybody?
No, I wasn't surprised. It was just sometimes I wasn't sure who I was talking to because I wasn't sure, like, what their name was and what avatar they used, so that was confusing at first.
You keep expecting to see if these little avatars are running around the comic store, but
right.
People, so it threw me off.
Well, it's not World of Warcraft, man, so that you don't get to walk around talking to people like that, but it was nice that, Tony provided us with our avatars, actually, so we had those little things added onto our name tags, which was very nice of him.
Little badges, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mitch, how about you? I mean, you were there covering it for two things, actually. I mean, for your own experience and also for Silver Bullet Comics. So what was your initial impression of CGS-200?
Well, I agree with Tony a lot, just that Deemer really just knocked it out of the park, you know, with this. And I was listening to their wrap-up episode today that they just posted, the episode 201, and something that just mesmerized me was that all of the goodie bags and everything, there were surprises for the other geeks, you know.
Yeah.
Deemer had withheld that information from them, you know. So they all went with the same sort of attitude that we had, you know. They had no idea what was coming. So he really, like, he held that entire thing on his shoulders, and to me, that's just remarkable. And like you said, Tony, he was cool as a cucumber the whole time.
Yeah.
But overall, it was very peculiar, and it really hit me first when I was talking to Adam Murdo, because he is the guy that I really kind of like feel like he's the one that I root for on the podcast. I don't know why. I just relate to him a lot.
I love that guy.
It's got to be the sideburns.
Yeah, exactly. And when I was talking to him, it was so strange because it was like suddenly here's this real person, you know. And I talk about this in the article a little bit. It's you guys have seen the movie The Game with Michael Douglas, right? I felt almost like the CGS forums and the podcast, like it was all this incredible joke that all of my friends had played on me, you know, like none of the stuff was actually real. Like I was going to get to Golden Eagle Comics and be in there like by myself, and the store would have like closed down 15 years ago, you know. But so it was a relief, but at the same time it was just bizarre, you know.
It would have had a little Blair Witch Project thing going on at a comic convention. That would have been great. You get there, I'm so sorry for reading comics. Oh, man. But, yeah, no, I can definitely relate to what you're saying there, because, I mean, you really don't know how these things are going to go until you're actually there. Because with CGS 100, I mean, I was so nervous for that. I had no idea what to expect because, you know, I've only talked to these people online. When you get to meet them in person, I mean, are they going to be the same? Are they just putting on an act online? And are they, you know, different in real life? But they're really not. And that's something that you find. I mean, I don't know whether or not that's just in the comic community or whether or not that's, you know, just the forum life in general. But usually people are pretty much the same on forums as they are in real life, only they're typing instead of talking.
Well, they're probably more so themselves. You know, when you're looking somebody in the eye, you have to kind of lie to them a little bit, you know. when you're just typing it at avatars, it doesn't really make any difference.
Just like, again, like dating.
Well, you got something on your mind here, Tony. Jeez.
I'm just saying, it's also first meeting. You're just getting to know somebody. You're on your best behavior. So I think if we, you know, in a few more years, we keep going to 300, 400, 500 of these things. After a while, we'll start to be like, you know, push each other around. You'll see fights breaking out.
It'll be like Lord of the Flies, you know?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, well, no, after a while, it'll become a reality show. They'll have the cameras there, and, you know, they'll have little confessional booths for the comic geeks to go into afterwards to, you know, I can't believe that Denise pushed me on the floor like that, you know? It's absolutely terrible, you know? Well, not saying you would ever do that, Denise. I was just using your name as an example. Don't worry. I know that you're a very peaceful person in real life, so. Now, Denise, you had the experience of being one of the few women in the room. but obviously there are more women in the room actually probably at that little setting than there probably are on the forums. Were you feeling that the entire time? I mean, what did that come into your mind at all, that you're one of the few, you know, girls that are actually at this place, or were you just another one of the guys, as it were?
No, I didn't feel that at all. I felt very comfortable there, just meeting everyone, and it's very different than when I was in when I would walk into Midtown, I'd be the only chick there. So, because, you know, I didn't know anyone.
So it's good being able to actually...
It was the car where she felt uncomfortable, I think.
Well, you know, anybody would feel uncomfortable when, you know, one girl surrounded by three guys like that. I mean, these skeevy guys that you never met before. Jeez, I mean, what would you possibly do in a situation like that? But, you know, I'm glad that that we didn't have any BO and that everything was all safe and sound for the ride and all was well there. So, God. So it definitely helped that you knew these people ahead of time, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It would have been a different experience if I didn't.
You probably wouldn't have gone in the first place if that was the case, right?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go, yeah. Yeah.
It's the safety of that. Now, what'd you guys get out of there swag-wise? I mean, that one, there were obviously plenty of free stuff, as was previously mentioned, with the goodie bag. I mean, we had the poster, we had the program, which was beautifully done with the Mike Norton cover. What'd you guys buy? What'd you guys get out there for free? We'll start off with you, Mitch. What'd you get?
Well, you know, I can't believe this. I didn't buy a single thing. Not a single thing.
Oh, Mitch.
Don't you remember, Tony, when we went in, I said, like, you know, I'm for my bank account's sake, I'm not going to buy anything.
FLM, you said?
Lovingly.
Dude, I mean,
no,
you
didn't say that, folks.
Yeah, you had a $5 coupon. I mean, you could have very well gone in there and just, you know, spent $5 on stuff, you know?
Yeah, and gotten it for free. I don't know why. I spent a lot of time looking, and there was a couple of Silver Age Justice Leagues of America that I was really keen on, and I went back. It's funny because I went back and forth to that box a couple of times throughout the whole day, like, thumbing through, and I saw one with, like, the Red Tornado on it that obviously this is like the era that Meltzer is kind of writing towards, yeah. You know, but for whatever reason, I just sort of, like, stepped back and walked away, and I don't know how I did it.
Stronger man than I am. That much I can definitely say, man. Stronger man than I. I spent at least, I think I spent about $40 there, which was more than I thought I was going to spend. But at the same time, I'm glad I did, because that was money well spent there. But yeah, dude, you're a comic fan that doesn't give in to temptation, and that's something that is very rare.
I did win a variant cover Athena Voltaire signed by Steve Bryant, which I'm very much looking forward to reading. The artwork in there is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's terrific. Don't ever, if you do a podcast, you know, don't ever have that guy on, or else everything's going to end up out of sync.
Yeah, absolutely. I shouldn't have even said his name. I'm sorry.
It's all right, Steve. We love you, buddy. It's just, man, you got bad timing on these things. It had to be mentioned with Denise and myself on the same thing. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tony, there.
Free plug.
Yeah, well,
free plug on your own show.
Yeah, great. Yeah, listen to Comic Timing, everybody, over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic-timing. It's a wonderful series. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it before, but you want anything else, Mitch, or was the Athena Voltaire the only thing?
No, two Bushy Tales comics, too.
So very nice.
Been seeing those, too.
You haven't got a chance to look at them yet, Ryan?
No, I haven't. I've been up to my eyeballs in this article. It turned out to be 3,000 words, if you can believe
it. Oh, wow.
So,
well, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll send out the link once it goes live. It should go up by the latest on Monday, which I'm, you know, what I it's out of my hands now. And I'm sorry about that quote, Denise. It was really great, and I just couldn't get it in.
Oh, that's okay. It's my fault.
Well, you know what? Denise, what did you say? Because now everybody in the comic book world can understand exactly what he had to cut out.
What did I say?
Ooh. Yeah. What did you say? What was the quote? What was the quote, man?
I don't remember it now.
Oh, jeez. See, you put. I know I put you on the spot here.
Yeah, you did.
Denise, just make something up.
Actually, yeah, exactly. I kind of did that. I'm sorry.
That's what happens when you bring stuff up, Mish. You know, me being the smarmy, sneaky host that I am, I just need to try and get that stuff in there. But, well, what are you going to do? Denise, what'd you get out of the experience? What'd you leave the store with?
I didn't buy a lot, actually. I was too busy. Like, I realized the time, like, flew by. And I only picked up the Elseworld Superman Metropolis trade.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Woman, the Blue Amazon, which are two trades based on the German Expressionism films.
Okay.
The Blue Amazon is based on The Blue Angel, and Metropolis is based on the 1927 silent film.
Oh, that's cool. Is that actually the same Metropolis that a lot of those Japanese movies were based on, or is that a separate Metropolis?
I'm not sure, actually. I've heard of that, but I've never actually tracked them down to see if they're the same.
Any idea who the creators are on that project, by the way? The Superman one. Anybody we've heard of done it, or is it just one of those random trades that has indie guys?
This is one of those random trades.
Okay, so nobody we would know by name, right?
I can't recall, so sorry. Okay.
What'd you win? You come out of there with any swag, or?
Yeah, I got the Spider-Man Kraven's Last Hunt hardcover, because I was the only one to answer the damned question.
What was the question? I completely forget now.
Who is the lead character in the Damned series?
Okay, there we go.
It's Eddie.
Bum-ba-da-da.
Yeah.
So that proves you're reading the Damned, which is a plus there. I should actually be reading that myself, because I've heard good things about it.
Okay, and I also got Free Marcosia comics and the Bushy Tales comic and t-shirt.
Okay, so you came out of there with a lot.
Yeah.
What Marcosias did you get, Denise?
The Lexion Chronicles.
Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it?
I haven't read it.
I just read that. I just read it yesterday and today. Fantastic. I love that book.
Well, there you go. Denise, it's going to be fantastic.
Okay, I can't wait.
It's got a ringing endorsement from Tony, so that means it has to be good, of course. But
bring it around, I'll sign it for you.
Okay.
Tony, what'd you get?
Well, I didn't actually buy anything, but I managed to shove like a stack of books under my shirt when Lem wasn't looking, and I ran out to the car. No, actually, I spent about $40-$50, I think. I got mostly some fill-in issues. I picked up some Dan Slott things, which I had heard so much about. You know, I wasn't expecting them to be as good as everybody said they were, but damn, they're really, really good stories, and quick-paced, quick-wit, just really good all around. The artwork was great. And then I bought a couple of Jimmy Olsen back issues from the 70s, which Jack Kirby wrote and drew. So I'm trying to collect the whole run there. I think he did about a dozen of those issues, so I'm slowly piecing that together. And then I bought a Marcosia trade off of Chuck Satterley. And right. Then I wound up, as luck would have it, winning a whole stack of Marcosias afterwards, which, was great as well, which I'm not a real big independent fan or independent comics fan, but I started in those books and now I love them. And yesterday I went to Jim Hanley's here in New York City, the comic store, and Chuck was doing a signing, and I spent another $50 on Marcosia books, so I am fully engulfed now in independence.
I guess you're all caught up on Marcosia now.
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, that's it. You're officially an independent guy, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
They put your foot in the door, as it were. And I got more than I ever thought I would out of this thing, because the swag, I'm not quite sure how it happened. It just sort of fell into my lap. I didn't expect there to be swag. I didn't expect there to be, you know, free stuff. Because, well, last time they only gave away a couple prizes, and this time they really pulled out all the stops. Because, well, I guess Comic Geek Speak knew how big this event was, that they were actually getting, you know, creators involved, and they wanted to get something big here. So.
Right.
But I'll go with what I bought first, because that one's, more stuff. I got Gen 13 number 1 on the glowing endorsement of Sean from Raging Bullets. And by the way, Sean, goddamn you, I like this issue, which means now I'm going to have to start reading Gen 13. Goddamn you, Sean. He does that to me so often, you know? Like, there's just one book out there that I really don't think I'm going to pick up, and then all of a sudden, he gives a glowing endorsement, and I'm out there, like, just picking it up. So I got to stop listening to him. Swear to God. Yeah, stop listening to Raging Bullets.
Him and his Jedi mind tricks.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. But and I'm not the only one. But the best part of the entire experience at CGS 200 was seeing Sean win those Wildstorm books and then just handing them to John Mayo for him to read. So now John Mayo is forced to read Wildstorm, even though he said he would never read it. So good for him. John Mayo has more stuff to read. I'm automatically for
that.
Wait,
John's in Texas with Sean's books?
Yep.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
I got Fables number 55, because my local place didn't get that in. Irredeemable Ant-Man number 2. Green Arrow number 68. I got the Key preview issue that Erica... Is it Hess or Hesse?
I think it's Hesse, I think.
Hesse, yeah. Okay, there we go. Erica Hesse did, and I didn't get a chance to get a sketch, because actually I was next in line to do a sketch, and the episode was starting right when I was in line, so I had to actually get out of line for that. But I did get the preview, and I got... In the swag department, I actually got a Alex Ross mythology book, which I've been eyeing at Barnes & Noble for the longest time, so now I can actually thumb through that, and oh, it is a gorgeous book. It really is.
That looked nice. I saw your copy. That was very nice.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, well, Alex Ross in general, I mean, anything with Alex Ross art in it, I'm eventually going to get, and now I actually got it. The Essential Daredevil Volume 3, which actually trades Daredevil number 43 to 74 and Iron Man number 53 and 56. And this has Barry Windsor-Smith stuff, Gene Colan, Jerry Conway, Stan Lee, Roy Thomas, Don Heck and friends, the works, basically. So,
excellent.
Wow.
Yeah, that's really worth it right there. And that was yet another thing that I just happened to win. And I paid the money on something that Denise got for free, but, yeah, it's all good. I got Kraven's Last Hunt, because I've always wanted that. So this is a new edition that just came out, because before that, it was just in regular trade, and now they actually have the hardcover for it. And, this looks beautiful. It's JMD Mateus and Zach, and it's a classic story that I've always wanted to read, so now I finally get to read
it. I remember buying those issues off the shelf back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
I've been collecting a long time, yeah. It's a good series. Good arc.
You said that you also have the sequel, right?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. What is the sequel?
That was actually me.
That was you.
Kraven,
okay, right.
Soul of the Hunter, yeah.
There we go.
I got that as a Christmas present years and years ago.
Oh, cool. That was done by the same people, DeMatteis and Zach? Or?
I know it was at least DeMatteis. I don't know if it was the same artist or not. It's been years since I've even read it. It's all down in Georgia with all of my college stuff.
Yeah, Denise, was this more of a convention experience for you, or was this more just like a gathering of friends?
Well, I don't view this more as a convention, because for me, the reason to go to one is to probably meet creators, but for this, it wasn't that much. You know, just to meet people that you've probably talked to before, and, you know, just trying to get together.
Okay. So even though there were creators there, it was less of the experience that you would normally expect out of something like a convention.
Right.
Okay. So pretty much they were just thrown in for the hell of it. they were there to meet, but that wasn't much of...
Denise.
Oh, man. I love twisting your words, Denise. It's fun. No, I kid. Everybody twists mine all the time, too. But no, I get you on that, and I can understand that. I mean, did this give you any more of a reason to go to, say, like a New York Comic Con or something like that? I mean, knowing the fact that, you know, the guys you finally met in person now will probably end up at New York Comic Con at one point or another.
Yeah, it's just, you know, just to get to see everyone again, and also... I want a sketch from Mike Norton, which missed out on this time.
Yeah, I think he'll charge this time around, though.
Yeah.
Ah, well, I might wait online to get another sketch from him, because it's totally worth it. Tony, you're going to a mini convention this weekend, as we've established, the Big Apple Comic Con. What is something like that compared to, say, something like a mini convention like Comic Geek Speaks episode 200, which wasn't really a convention in the first place, but I'm still going to say that because it just sounds better. But how does it compare to something like that? I mean, how differently do you view one from the other?
Well, I think the big difference is that I don't know 90% of the people in the Minicon tomorrow, Saturday, so that's the big thing. You walk into a room, you don't know anybody, and everybody's, you know, kind of pushing and shoving, and, you know, you can look somebody in the face, you're not going to see a smiling face back, you just see, like, somebody saying, get out of my way. And also, you've got several vendors at this convention, you know, so it's... Whereas in the store, you're just buying from the store, which is fine, but maybe your selection will be a little less at the store rather than the mini convention. If you don't like one person's price, you can always go to another vendor at the con, and you can try to haggle and, you know, like that. But other than that, it's pretty similar. You know, you've got a bunch of geeks in a room. You've got vendors, you've got artists, you know, selling their stuff and doing sketches. And it's similar. Everybody's there for the same reason, just to geek out and have a good time.
Well, see, that's kind of interesting right there, because, yeah, it's hard to have multiple vendors inside of a store, so that's definitely one thing you're getting out of a mini convention.
Not impossible,
because, I mean, there were guys, you know, selling their stuff inside of the store, so, I mean...
Mayo was trying to sell me some funny cigarettes, but...
Oh! I don't even want to know, man. I don't even want to know. Now, by the way, this is going to be edited so that, you know, none of this stuff actually, you know, happened, but we've had a couple of dropouts here, so Mitch is now joining us via cell phone. So say hi again, Mitch.
Hi again, Mitch. I'm still here.
There you go. So if you're wondering why all of a sudden it sounds like he's on a phone, that's because he is on a phone. So just making that clear to all the listeners.
And for all the listeners, Mitch has had a problem with his voice or speaking to us the whole weekend, because last week he had a massive cold, and as the day went on, he kept losing his voice, and by the end of the day, he was just like gasping. And now he's got the cell phone problem. We can hear him a little fainter. So this poor guy.
I'm just a surging engine of calamity is what I am.
Well,
I need my dictionary now. Into chaos and dark, like Emerson says.
Okay, you just totally proved why you're the writer here.
Yeah.
You should use that in one of your columns. That would be great. Now,
or just introduce yourself like that.
Oh yes, I am the darkness. I am the depths of your soul that has been aching for release for the longest time. All right, but anyway, asking the same question that I asked you, Tony and Denise, was this more of a convention experience or was this more of a gathering experience for you, Mitch?
Well, I think this is all in all a lot better than a convention experience, because you go to a convention and unless you've dragged some poor fool along with you, you don't know anybody there, you know? So at least going into this, you had at least some idea of who these people were, you know, through previous interactions. And you weren't just kind of like going from vendor to vendor and creator to creator on your own all day. Honestly, at the end of the day, at the end of the convention, you know, you're like $70 poorer and you've eaten at one of like the really crappy hot dog stands or whatever they've got there. And, you know, you've got nothing to show for it except for a stack of comics that you'll read in a weekend. But, you know, I felt like I came out of this with, like, good friends and, you know, relationships. So I think this was infinitely better than an experience like that.
Yeah, well, hold on. You left somebody out. Good friends, relationships, and just Bill.
That's right. He's in his own category.
That picture of just Bill on your Flickr account, Tony, is really awesome.
Yeah, let's explain that to the listeners out there. What position did you get Bill in, Tony?
I think he was raising his arms, doing the like the rock and roll pose, like yeah, you know, with the two devil fingers in each hand. And I just kind of cropped the arms off because he was behind you guys and it looked like he was putting horns behind your head. So I didn't want to embarrass you. He was standing next to you, Ian, and you, Mitch, right in between you guys. So he looks like, you know, rock and roll dude with the tongue out.
I didn't realize I was in that picture.
Well, guess
probably
what? Surprise. Surprise. Well, yet another reason for everybody who's listening out there, if you haven't joined the forums, this is why you join the forums on Comic Geek Speak, okay? Because you get to meet crazy people like Bill and, you know, like John Mayo and Adam Murdo and all those guys out there and the people that I'm talking to right now.
And it's,
because
sorry, and it's also 10% off all your podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah, actually. Surprisingly enough. Yeah, all the podcasts are 10% off for free, so... It's all good. But the time, however, the time is still exactly the same. So you're not taking 10% off of the actual time of the podcast. Although, if it was Raging Bullets, that wouldn't really take up much time anyway. So, all right. So also going from the perspective of, say, I guess maybe a gathering with friends and a gathering of, you know, a forum and all that. This is the first time you've ever gotten together with people you've known from on a forum, right? Or has this happened before for any of you guys?
I've been like a fan of a few bands where we've, you know, had forums similar to this, but not quite the scope, where we'd go see the band in different cities and, you know, whoever's going to see them in that city would meet up before the show and maybe have dinner or a drink or something. But nothing on this scale and nothing that's been this enjoyable, quite frankly.
Now, is this something that you could really only get out of, say, a community that, you know, you both know the you know, the hosts and also the people on the forums? I mean, would you have gone to this thing if you only knew, say, about maybe three people that were associated with it, and that's it, just the host of the podcast?
You're saying if I knew three people but I didn't know the hosts?
Yeah.
No, then it's like kind of like going to a convention, then it wouldn't have been as a big a deal. Although, you know what, hearing the podcast guys, the CGS guys, for like the last year and a half, and then seeing them is almost like seeing celebrities in a weird way, and I hate to admit it, but I was a little bit nervous talking to those guys in the beginning, and I was kind of stammering, and that was kind of cool, but again, if I just knew a few people, and I didn't know, if there was no chance of me meeting the hosts, and all that, and the artists and the creators, and I probably wouldn't have gone.
You and me both, actually, to tell you the truth, because when I met them for the first time, I was like, hey guys, what's up? Remember me? I'm that guy who does that segment for you guys. You're awesome. It was absolutely ridiculous how nervous I was the first time, because then I realized, wait a minute, these are just dudes. They're cool dudes. You know, they do a great thing. They do a great podcast, but they're comic geeks just like I am.
Yeah.
And I don't think you can get that experience anywhere else, really, you know, meeting them and finding out how real they really are. Mm. Denise, from what I've heard from before, you don't have a lot of friends that are actually into comics, right? I mean, most people around you are just, you know, friends that are just into other things, right? Or am I reading into this wrong?
No, that's right.
Okay, so this is really the first time you've actually been around a lot of people that are into the same thing that you are, right?
Well, comics is not,
That's what I meant. That's what I meant. Comics. Yes, yes, yes. Now, the stereotype of the comic book geek, has it been dispelled now that you've actually met the comic book geeks in person?
Well, I never believed in that stereotype to begin with, so I wasn't expecting to find that when I got there. So
good. Very, very good. I'm actually glad to hear that. But for those people out there who do think that we're just, you know, smelly slobs, I mean, we're slobs, but we don't smell. Okay? Let me get that out of there right now. Sure, right. We're slobs, but we use deodorant. Most of us, at least. Hopefully, yeah. All of us do. But we're getting there, slowly but surely. Mitch, is this the first time you've actually covered something along these lines for Silver Bullet Comics? Have you ever covered a convention or a meeting type thing for them before?
Yeah, this is actually my first time covering an event like this. I was supposed to cover the previous Big Apple Comic Con. Slow News Week, huh? And this one had no stars, you know, like no Adam West, no Val Kilmer. I was supposed to go cover it, but I had sort of a family crisis erupt, and I had to go home. Again, that engine of calamity. so yeah, this was my first actual coverage of an event. I've done an interview and a couple of sort of like crazy articles and a few reviews, and that's about it.
Now, how different is it to go to an event like this and, you know, cover it for something in particular as opposed to just going there for your own amusement?
Well, just, you know, my background in doing stuff like this is as a theater critic, and one of the chief things we were taught in our orientation or whatever for being these off-Broadway theater critics is that you shouldn't ever write anything down, because when you're going to review a play, you need to be an advocate for the average person. You know, you need to be able to sit down, see the play, and whatever sticks with you will probably stick with the average person. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the school of thought I have for this. Mm. So if I'm going to cover a convention or, you know, whatever it is, I try not to write anything down. I try to, you know, just focus in on the things that stuck with me naturally, because the truth of the matter is that's the stuff that's going to be important to me, you know. So
makes sense.
So what's important to you will be important to everybody else.
Well, it better.
Of course, yeah, because, I mean, you're the guy writing the thing. So, yeah, they better agree with you, damn it, or else... No, I kid. Yeah, I'm in a weird mood right now after all the restarts. I'm realizing that. I'm much more smarmy and sarcastic than I usually am, so I apologize already to everybody out there, because I don't know where I am right now. So
let it out, man, let it out.
Yeah, there we go.
We're here for you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
God, I love you guys. Expel your demons, Ian. Expel your comedy demons.
Oh, jeez. Holy crap. Well, I'm not Etrigan. Don't worry. I'm not. Although, I think there actually is somebody on the forum named Etrigan.
There's two guys with Etrigan status, I think. Right?
Okay. I think. I'm not certain. I'll have to look into that. With podcasts, you know, being as big as they are now, how frequently do you expect something like this may be happening? Because now we've had Around Comics have their little mini con in Chicago. Now we've had Comic Geek Speak have their episode 200 thing. How big do you see the whole podcasting thing go? And do you see more conventions like this happening in the future? I mean, I'll start it off with you, Tony. I mean, would you see more gatherings like this occurring if there's a reason for it, if there's enough listeners for it? You know, I'd say the more the merrier. But I mean, Is this because of how big podcasts are getting, or is it just because, you know, of a milestone episode for somebody?
Well, no, I think it's just good. It's going to snowball and just get bigger and bigger. I mean, more people are getting clued into podcasts, and, you know, we saw with episode 100 and 200, between episode 200, 100 and 200, the numbers grew. Like, I think the first one was like 15 people, 16 people, and now we had like 50-plus people, so, you know. That's just after 100 episodes. That's like 8 months. So I think in another, 8 months, it's going to be even more and more. And you know, people are becoming closer friends. They're becoming tighter. And, you know, maybe 10, 20 years down the line, people are going to start having children, and they'll start bringing their children. And it could be a whole thing. That's how it works with the concert community. You know, you see the same people years after year. And,
yeah.
You know, every year you see more people. And also, you know, you're witnessing these podcasting panels at big cons now. Like San Diego Con had a podcast panel, didn't it?
Yeah.
And the New York Comic Convention in Javits Center in February is going to have a podcasting panel.
That's not confirmed yet, but hopefully it will. We have the podcast arena, at least. But it would be very, very nice if they do have that panel. We're working on it. Hopefully they will. Because want to be a part of that.
I just love the name Podcast Arena, because it makes it sound like you're all going to go out there with maces and wooden shields, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't get the memo?
Enter,
yes, two men enter, one man leave. No, that's going to be a lot of fun, you know, seeing Jamie D battle Vince B. It'll be terrific, the battle of the alphabet.
With his war paint on, yeah.
No, you're definitely right about that. I mean, more and more people are finding out about this stuff due to the conventions and stuff. So I guess one could maybe spiral out of the other, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more people find out about it, and then there's more reason to actually gather, as it were. So
yeah, and word of mouth as well. You know, I had such a great time. If you look at the forum, the Comic Geek Speak forum, all these other people who didn't make it to 200 are saying, oh, you guys had such a great time. I'm definitely there for 300. And, you know, it's just going to explode, I think. As cons did. I think when Comic Convention started, 30 years ago, whatever it was, 40 years ago, it was only, a handful of people. And now eventually it's, we have to get the San Diego Con where movie producers are there and, celebrities and whatnot. And, we got an arena full of people. So I think that's going to be how podcasts are going to be, not on such a large scale, but a larger scale.
Do you guys see the same sort of thing, happening that Tony just mentioned? I mean, perhaps, hopefully on a larger scale, more and more people possibly getting together and, having their big little gatherings, and big little makes no sense, but you know what I mean? Denise, what about you? I mean, as a podcaster, I think it would be very, very awesome if you guys eventually had, some sort of Birds of Geek gathering, but that's just me.
For what?
For a milestone episode or something like that, maybe down the road. Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? But, well, I mean, how much do you think the conventions, play into people finding out about the podcast? Do you feel they're catching on, as it were, with the whole podcasting thing?
Do you mean the promotion of podcasts at conventions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I'm not really sure because I've never been to a convention and I've never actually gone out to promote my own podcast. But I do see, especially, CGS, they're like the biggest one around and everyone seems to notice them. And they actually had a table, I believe, at a convention, but I can't remember which one that was. They're definitely getting noticed and being directed to the forum, other people are going to notice that there's other podcasts out there. And I could see in that way that it would grow.
So it's sort of like a larger version of the iTunes effect.
Right. It's just, anyone can just look in iTunes and find podcasts, but when you actually see that there's podcasters that are affiliated with each other, and then someone recommends something, you're more likely to go and have a listen.
I can certainly agree with that.
We also have to say that there needs to be a forum where people can communicate back and forth in order for these meetings to, happen, don't there?
Yeah.
You can't just have a podcast and say, all right, I'm going to have 200. Well, I suppose you could, actually, but I don't think the friendship would be there that would drive people to attend these podcast events.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, there has to be a community. If you're just, out there and then saying, I'm going to have this gathering at this local bar near my house, and if any of you live within 5 miles and you don't want to come out, I'll buy you a drink.
Well, yeah, community or free beer, yeah.
Oh, yes, I forgot. Free beer will send anybody to anywhere. I completely forgot about that. Mitch, do you agree with what's been said from Tony and Denise, that the conventions themselves have played a lot into the growth of the comic book podcast?
Absolutely, I think so. But I think the thing you said about the iTunes effect is true. And I think maybe down the further timeline, or, you know, looking at a larger picture, I think that podcasts are going to have a more interesting effect on conventions than conventions have had on podcasts. Episode 200 is a good example of that, because I know that I, and like I said earlier, I would much rather go to something like Episode 200 than San Diego, because I'll have a better time there, you know? And I think as podcasts get more widespread and people begin to, like, choose, you know, it's going to be almost like maybe professional sports. I don't know. You know, everybody picks a team or whatever, but I guess maybe these gatherings would start in...
If team CGS, woo!
Right? If each podcast started doing things like CGS is doing, then really would conventions even matter anymore? Because I think a lot of people would rather go to a place where they would at least say like 8 or 9 people, as opposed to going to a huge convention like San Diego, you know, or sleeping outside to get tickets to see Ilya Yovovich or whatever, you know. In the end, I think podcasts are going to do more to the convention circuit than conventions are going to do to podcasts. That's very rambling.
No, I can understand what you're saying there. I mean, so basically what you're hinting at is that eventually these sort of gatherings could kind of, well, I wouldn't exactly say replace, but possibly get on as big a scale as these large-scale conventions have gotten, because people would know each other already and would want to go to them?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, you know what, though? You forget people go to these conventions also to get cheap cheap books, or get, you know, books that they can't get at their local stores and whatnot. You know, I don't think these podcast gatherings are going to satisfy them in that area.
But if you combined one with the other, that's the thing. I mean, let's say there actually is, you know, an actual, you know, mini convention happening in, say, like, you know, a local town hall or something like that, where you get a whole bunch of these small town retailers that, you know, have their dollar bins, they have their quarter bins, they have their 25% off sales or something like that, and, you know, you get them together with a little bit of creators and all that. And it's this community from a forum. Well, hey, you've got a little bit of everything right there.
Yeah, but you're not going to get your people who collect slab comics and the high-end comics and all that. I see what you're saying. They're kind of coming together, the podcast gatherings and conventions, but I think there'll always be a little bit of a separation.
So there's still a reason to have both.
I think so.
Okay, definitely. Here's something amusing that I'm thinking, because it's kind of weird to have your voice recognized before your face. And I'm realizing that more and more now when I go to these, you know, when I go to these gatherings or when I go to conventions and stuff like that. Like, I know the Raging Bullets guys have happened, had it happen to them, and CGS has happened, had it happen to them, and that has happened to me a couple times, because there were at least two people that I met at the actual CGS 200 that knew it was me before I even turned around, just from hearing my voice there. Well, first of all, congratulations on you three entering that spectrum, because now everybody's going to know what your voice sounds like. So, you know, when you actually go to one of these things, they'll know who you are before you actually shut... No, okay, no, I'm being silly here.
I think you're stretching it a bit.
Yes, exactly, I know, but...
Well, they know Denise, don't they? She's got her own podcast.
Yeah.
Well, exactly, yeah, but how much do you think that plays into it? I mean, we're not mini celebrities, but sometimes people think we are, as what was just mentioned by, you know, meeting the CGS guys and, you know, how we were kind of flustered about that, but these are just regular guys here. I mean, is it possible to be a celebrity without actually being a celebrity? I mean, is that actually possible here? I mean, Denise, as a fellow podcaster, I mean, what do you think about that?
I don't see myself as a celebrity, sorry. And
well, I know.
Well, if someone else did, I would think that was really weird, because, you know, I don't feel that I'm doing anything extraordinary to merit being a celebrity.
But when you post on the podcast, there is a little bit of a certain kind of a buzz around seeing, you know, your name, Denise, or you, Ian, because, you know, oh, that's the guy from the podcasting, that's the girl from the Birds of Geek. You know, there's a little bit of an excitement around that, so... It does exist, whether you realize it or not.
Now I just had this terrible image in my head of, like, you know, the next Big Apple Comic Con happening, you know, featuring such and such from the such and such podcast. Adam West and this guy from this podcast, you know? God, if it ever got to that point, I'm bailing out.
Tony Gagliardo from episode 26 of Comic Con.
Oh, God. Jeez, if it ever got to that point, I'm bailing out. Seriously,
I agree.
My favorite guy that I saw, I'm sorry to like, my favorite guy that I saw at the Big Apple Comic Con was the guy from Star Wars A New Hope, who Darth Vader chokes in that one scene. And he actually has a headshot printed of him, like, in the Imperial, you know, uniform and, like, pulling his collar, like, as he's, like, choking, and he sells these, like, signed headshots of himself being choked. But that was my favorite guy.
Celebrity knows no bounds, does it? Anybody can be a celebrity. Yes, folks, you too can be a celebrity. Just send $5 to Ian Lovitz.
Care of Comic Timing in Brooklyn, New York. No. Oh, God, no. Yeah, all right, that's one thing also. I'm never charging for this, ever, okay? Ever, 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 because that would just be ridiculous right there. You know, if podcasting ever got to the point where, you know, you're charging like maybe $5 for, you know, like 10 episodes or something like that, thanks but no thanks. I'm out the door.
Well, unless it becomes the norm, you know, and you're the only one giving it away for free, you know. I'm not an advocate of charging or even advertising, quite frankly, or, you know, sponsorships, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But if everybody's doing it 20 years from now, you know, you might rethink things.
Oh, by the way, you know, Comic Timing is brought to you by the New York Comic Con. Okay, no, I'll do that advertisement later. But
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but they're not giving me money for it. That's something that I'm making clear here also. That, I mean, the current sponsorship that I have with New York Comic Con, I get in and I give them props. That's pretty much it, which is, you know, more gracious than I can possibly imagine from them, because, you know, being on the podcast arena where I get to battle people to the death, and, you know, being able to, you know, get into this comic convention and, you know, have myself listed on the website, that's pretty much all I need out of this. So, you know, I don't really need any real funds to get out of advertising. So, I don't know. Maybe someday I will, but for now, I'm happy with just, you know, couple of plugs here and there. So what was your favorite moment out of the whole night? Because there was about 6 or 7 hours that we spent there, you know, hanging out with these guys and going to two different places and you know, the Mongolian Grill and all, and after that we were at that fake Dave and Buster's, you know, enjoying ourselves. So what was your favorite moment of the entire night? I'll start off with you, Mitch.
Oh, man, I knew you were going to come to me first.
Oh, damn straight, man.
Oh, boy.
Better say the car ride up there, brother.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
You better say the car ride up there and the car ride back. Hanging out with us.
Well, actually, you know, I'm extremely grateful that you guys dropped me off first. Like, I haven't thought anything about that since, you know, Sunday morning in the wee hours.
Sure.
I was just so thankful that I got to get home, like, at a reasonable, they're semi-reasonable anyway, hour, because I was out, like, the minute I got in, and I slept until 6:30 the next day.
Nice.
We all felt bad for you, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah. By the end, you sounded like a smoker with emphysema, so we had to, we knew that you needed that rest, man, so I'm glad that you don't sound like that now. That's definitely a plus.
Yeah, it must be weird for you guys. Like,
yeah, we get to hear your real voice.
Hearing what I sound like. First favorite moments go for the podcast. I think it would have to be either when Chuck Satterley was talking about Sirius Satellite Radio, or when John Mayo just sort of stood up and said thank you and everything, because those were both, for some reason, very touching moments to me. The thing that Satterley said about, you know, he didn't switch to Sirius Satellite Radio when Howard went over there, but he said if the Comic Geeks did, then he would switch to Sirius Satellite Radio, you know.
Yeah.
And right after that, pretty much, John Mayo got up and said, you know, he did sort of like a little shtick of like calculating how many hours it takes, which is perfect. And
don't forget Jimmy D's speech as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Everybody just kind of everybody was just very much like paying tribute, you know, like everybody, all of the podcasters went up and said a few words. I thought it was very, very touching to see how much the Comic Geek guys had inspired all of these other people. I thought that was a very, you know, a very powerful and like easy to pick up on thing that was going on, you know.
Well, I wouldn't be here doing this podcast right now had I not found them. And I've made that clear that, I mean, they're the guys that pretty much inspired me to get into the podcasting realm in the first place. So, I mean, just how natural it was, and that they were just, you know, hanging around and just, you know, talking, shooting the breeze and all that. I'm like, wow, that can be a podcast, and it can be really awesome. So right away, I'm like, okay, maybe I can do this. So I, you know, I went out there and, you know, gave my shot at it. And without them, it would have never happened. So I got to give them mega props for, you know, going out there and being one of the first to do this, and, you know, inspiring so many others to go out there and do it. Brian Deemer, you're the man. You're the man now, dog. Tony, what's your favorite moment?
Well, the whole day was really special, but I'll just pick a moment at random. Not a moment, but a time. I didn't really get a chance to speak to people in depth in the beginning during the day, during the episode, of course, or even with the restaurants. I wasn't, you know, we were kind of like almost assigned seating, but not assigned, but, you know, you kind of got to take whatever chair is left.
Yeah.
But at the end of the night, we went to the bar afterwards, and we were all hanging out there, and, you know, you just pull up a chair next to whoever you wanted to, and Mitch and I were speaking to Shane Kelly. He was a really sweet guy, and you know, Matt and Adam Murdo, those guys are really so nice, and I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
You know, I knew they'd be nice, but they were really, like, almost like family in a way, you know, some kind of, like, I felt like a bit of a kinship, and, you know, and Matt was giving us directions home, and it was just a really nice kind of a feeling, and that's when it kind of, like, you know, hit me that, you know, these guys are really tops. Everybody was tops, but, you know, that was a nice, special moment.
So it's pretty much your Cheers bar moment.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Norm! instead of Norm, Jamie D! Beautiful. Yeah. Denise, how about you? What was your favorite? I can pretty much guess what it was, but go ahead. Let us know what it was.
What's your guess?
My guess is meeting Amy.
Right, but I was doing something else.
Well, go ahead.
Puppet Rios.
Damn, you stole my answer.
Puppet Rios.
Yeah, for those of you who haven't seen this yet, okay, it's on YouTube. Do a search for Comic Geek Speak, and it'll be one of the first things that comes up. If you've never listened to Indie Spinner Rack, okay, Indie Spinner Rack, go ahead, go out there and listen to at least one episode of Indie Spinner Rack. It's a hilarious show, and they do a great job with indie books. But Charlito,
can I just say that Charlito's we're also talking to him at the bar. What a nice guy he is too.
Yeah.
Really sweet guy and funny guy and full of energy. I love that guy. He's great.
Yeah, he definitely is. I met him actually over at Mocha only a couple months back, and met him here again, and he is really, really nice. Definitely a really, really nice guy. And, you know, crazy, but in a good way. He's the good kind of crazy. He's the hilarious kind of crazy. And he pulled out this Peter Rios puppet. Peter Rios, one of the guys from Comic Geek Speak, because he couldn't be there. So instead, we had our Triumph the Insult comic dog for the evening, pretty much. And Amy got to take him home afterwards. And, oh, God, it was the most hilarious segment you could possibly imagine. He does a Stump DeRios segment. Stump DeRios is on Comic Geek Speak also, where, you know, they ask Peter Rios some questions, and every answer was, Jorge Perez! And
that was
just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So, very, very funny moments there. But I'd say my favorite moment out of the entire night was getting to shoot the breeze afterwards with Sean and Jim over at the bar. It was me, Sean, Jim, and Bruce just, you know, sharing a couple beers and sharing a couple stories and just really just, you know, enjoying the fact that we got to, you know, meet up. I got to meet Jim for the first time finally, and they're all really, really nice guys, and just, you know, just talking and, you know, just getting to know each other even better is just, it's a beautiful experience. So it's definitely something that you want to be able to do, and to be a part of a community like this, I couldn't ask for more, and that's why it's just so great for me. So that's definitely my favorite moment right there, cool, without a doubt. And getting to spend the car ride with you guys was really, really great, and getting to know you all was definitely a pleasure. And
that could have gone horribly wrong. You know, it could have been like a most uncomfortable car ride for any of us, but it turned out pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it was just a whole bunch of comic geeks talking comic geek stuff, which is exactly what I was hoping it would be. So, yeah. And then on the ride home, us completely exhausted, which was exactly what I was hoping for. So.
And stopping for directions at Mr. Beer.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you MapQuest.
We need to talk about that at least one time before the episode wraps up, because, okay, I have never had more fun stopping for directions in my life, okay?
I agree.
Because every single time it happened, I'm like, oh my god, it just happened again. Holy crap. We stopped for directions, what, 5 times on the way to, like the 2 different places that we were going to? Yeah. Something along those lines. And yeah. First going up there, we stopped twice. And then going to the bar place afterwards was, I think, literally, we stopped 3 times.
We stopped 3 times, yeah. And it was only 5 miles away. I looked it up. Literally, we only traveled 5 miles. Or we actually probably traveled, 11 miles. But it was really only a distance of 5 miles that we were supposed to travel. We still stopped 3 times.
I'm going to start a collection for some road signs for that the neck of the woods. That would have saved us a lot of grief. Just a couple of signs here and there, this way is the mall, that way is the bar. All it would have taken.
Well, yeah, it's not New York, man.
Yeah, well.
It's not New York. You don't get that
New York
lucky.
has its props, too, but...
Yeah. They do manage to have, street signs, which is definitely a plus, but these weren't even streets, man! But...
I was Mitch's observation about, can we slam MapQuest on here? Is that okay? Are we going to get sued or anything?
Go ahead.
Mitch's observation about the MapQuest directions were, to get out of New York, it's like a page and a half, and then just to get to the mall, once you hit Pennsylvania, it's like, 2 directions.
Yeah. It's like, once you're on the road, they automatically assume that you're going to find your way.
Yeah.
Like no, you know by instinct that you're supposed to turn right.
Yeah, you're on a highway, look for the mall, you're there.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. There's going to be a giant sign that says mall. But guess what? There was no giant sign. Yeah,
well, literally, every instinct we had was wrong. We should have just started to, pay attention to our second instinct, because when we would come off of an exit, we would all say, this way. Inevitably, the other way.
And I love too that once we got to the third one, we all just sort of like looked towards Mitch and Mitch, could you help us out here and go all right, fine.
Just take guy out of the car, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they're probably all wondering does he sound like this on a regular basis?
Which way is the restaurant?
Oh god. So yeah, dude, next time if we do this again, I'll ask for the directions. Don't worry about it. We'll switch off. We'll switch off. Every time we do it, it'll be a different person asking for directions, because I'm sure we'll get lost again. But it was just brilliant. It was terrific. Good times. But also, next time, they hinted that they might be going to Shady Maples next time. And
yeah, I heard that.
I love this place. They're probably shocked that I even know about it, too, because, me being from Brooklyn, how the hell do I know about Shady Maples? But this place has, a place in my heart for the rest of my life. When I was growing up, we went to this campout place called Spring Gulch every year. And we stopped at Shady Maples at least twice a week when we were up there. And they have the best smorgasbord you'll ever eat in your life. It's delicious. Everything's homemade and, fresh and delicious. And if we go there, I'm going up the day before.
Oh, really?
Seriously. Yeah, without a doubt. Because if we're having breakfast at Shady Maples, hell, I am in, man. Mm. I haven't gone there in 10 years, so it would be an experience.
I was thinking about going, spending an extra day there as well this next year. If there was an extra year.
Yeah, I had the same thought, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Staying at the Econo Lodge, from what I've heard, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
The stories about that, jeez. Oh, God.
So this Shady Maples is big enough, is as big as the Mongolian restaurant? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely even bigger. So they have special rooms, for parties and stuff, so we'd definitely be able to fit in there. So if they're planning on going to Shady Maples, like I said, I am in.
The way I figure it, episode 300 should take place around July or August, or in the summer at least, so that'd be kind of nice, won't it?
Well, that'd be great, yeah, without a doubt. Hopefully I'll have a job by then. I'm taking a sick day. I'm taking a sick day for that Friday, and I'm out there. So yeah. I guarantee you that without a doubt. So
yeah, I might even actually want to go for the whole weekend. I would stay at 2 nights just because, like I said, I have no interest in flying to San Diego, for the Comic Con over there, and I might as well spend that money to go do something that I like to do, that I would much rather do. So
Yeah, and this time give some money to Lem.
Yeah.
Bastard. You bastard.
I was so close to buying those Justice Leagues, you have no idea.
Well, hopefully they'll still be there next year.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that they'll probably still be there, because Lem also, and this is something that I have to say also, because this episode can't possibly end without me thanking Lem for this, because Lem is the guy who runs Golden Eagle Comics, and he does such an amazing job, and he's so for these, you know, little gatherings happening in his store, and he graciously gives up the space for it, and he gave $5 off to everybody who, you know, showed up, basically, and that was just, it was really nice of him to do that, and it generated a lot of business for him, so I would definitely have to thank Lem for that. He's a really nice guy, and definitely a sweet man, and the type of guy you want running a comic shop, without
a doubt. He donated the Sin City hardcover that you won, actually.
Yes, he did, and I'm still shocked I won that, because it is gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And actually, you know what? Why the hell not? I'm going to announce it here. I'm going to have a contest here on Comic Timing, and actually, because I won this Sin City thing, I have a Sin City trade to give away. It's the regular one. I'm not giving away the good one. I'm sorry. I'm not that generous, but I am giving away the first trade to Sin City, which, for those of you who haven't read it yet, is fantastic. It's back when, you know, Frank Miller could still draw. Oh, snap.
Ooh,
and, okay, come on.
You never work in Hollywood, Leon.
Oh, damn. Crap, I'm screwed. But
I'm too excited for his Batman versus Al-Qaeda project. That's going to be awesome.
Oh, God, no.
Jeez. Oh, God. How could DC even okay that? Seriously. Especially at this point where Osama's not caught yet. He's still out there, man. So what, Batman's going to bring him in?
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to end. It's gonna
be weird, yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm giving away at least, there could be more stuff added to this later on, but I'm giving away at least Sin City number one, volume one, the trade. Wow. And you know what, actually, I'm going to throw this in here also, because I never really had the space to put it up. I actually have a really, really nice John Cassaday Captain America poster from when he was still drawing Captain America, which was about 5 years back when he was still doing the Marvel Knights. And I'm going to throw that in there also. So
excellent.
We've got that, and we got that. And it's a very simple contest. Make a suggestion. Make a suggestion for a topic for Comic Timing. I'm going to have a post up there on the Comic Timing forum specifically for suggestions for this. And I'm going to pick one, you know, my favorite. And that's going to be the winner. And that person is also going to get to be on Comic Timing for that specific episode. So wow. You'll get Sin City number one, the trade. You're going to get that John Cassaday poster that I just mentioned. And you'll get to be on the show. So go ahead and think up your suggestions and put them out there. And you can go ahead and be on the show. So that's definitely a contest that I'm starting up, and there's no due date yet for the contest. I'll actually probably announce that on the next episode, but it'll probably be somewhere in the middle of December. I'll give the people about a month to do this. So There's a contest, and go ahead out there and think of your suggestions. So thanks for bringing that up, Mitch, because I almost forgot to talk about that on the show. So
runner-up gets directions to Jamie D's house.
Yeah, actually. But the thing is, they're from MapQuest.
From MapQuest.
And actually, no, the third runner-up gets to have a podcast with Steve Bryan. Steve, I swear to God, man, this is not anything bad towards you. I love you, man, all right? Nothing whatsoever. I just... dear God, man, you're okay. I'm done. But
before, is he gonna come back on your show, or is that?
Yeah. Actually, we do have him lined up for December, so I can't wait to have him on. So we might actually have a special episode with a couple other people on that. I'm working on that to see if we can get more than just him on, but I definitely want to have him on, and I'll have all my backups ready just in case anything goes down. So I'll have about like three recording things going at the same time. It'll all be good. But actually, yeah, before we go into the comments portion of this episode, I want to ask one more thing out of you guys, and it's actually, I guess it's probably the best way that you can probably cap this here. What have the geeks proven to you since you started listening to the show? I mean, what did they give you that you weren't getting before you were listening to Comic Geek Speak, before you were listening to podcasts in general even? What has comic podcasts added to your life? And I know that that's sort of deep here to say, but you know, we're all listening to them, so it's certainly something that I can ask. So I'll start off with you, Denise. What have comic podcasts added to your life?
Well, it's definitely widened my knowledge on the medium, and as well as just in general, just the community, just to be more part of it. And before, I was just more isolated, and it was, comics are just something I read, but I never talked to people about it in that sense.
So you're able to socialize a lot more than you used to.
Right.
Which is a plus, actually, because I'm sort of in the same boat you are. I didn't really have too many people to talk to about comic books. It was sort of like, you know, it was there, but it was there. That's it. You know, like, I would pick them up every week, and, you know, I'd talk to the guys at the store. I'd have, like, two friends that I talked to on a regular basis. But now I can talk to everybody out there, and, you know, it's all thanks to podcasts. And, you know, I'm being really mushy on this episode, but I mean that from the bottom of my heart here. You know, it's great having a community out there, and it's great to have listeners also. And I hope that you guys have come together also, everybody listening out there, and, you know, feel that you can, you know, voice your opinion on comic books as well. So, Tony, what about you?
Well, I had quit comics like a lot of people, you know, in the mid-90s sometime, because they were terrible, you know, they were lousy, the stories were getting crap and all that. So the geeks and all the other podcasters made me realize that how good comics were. You know, I always retained my love for comics, or, you know, the medium, but I figured I'd never buy a comic book again, because, you know, I couldn't read these things. I've outgrown them, and the stories weren't that good. But yeah, they've proved to me that these things are fantastic and probably better than they've ever been. So, you know, I'm a little bit poorer now because of that, but that's fine. I don't mind that. It's well worth it, and can't thank them enough for that.
Dude, it's the best thing to spend money on. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many people can say that their addiction is educational?
It's true, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a hell of a lot better than being on any sort of drugs. That's,
yeah, and it's also, you know, if you've got heroes to look up to as well, if you're a kid, you know, it's you can learn ideals, I suppose. You know, I don't know if this is true or not, but, you know, I read comics growing up, and you hold these superheroes, you know, even though they're fictional people, you hold them up in high regard, and you kind of, I think in the back of your mind, you aim to be like them. For those of you who read superhero comics, that is, you know.
Sure, of course.
If you're reading some of those Max titles, maybe.
You'll
end up a different person. But.
Well, if you're 8 years old, you shouldn't be reading a Max title. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
And Mitch, how about you?
Well, it's really broken down the mechanics of it, you know. It's demystified the comic book medium to me, because, like, the CGS guys and, you know, everybody that does a podcast, nobody has, you know, Frank Miller on a podcast. They have, you know, the letterer that worked with Frank Miller, and that's interesting stuff that you never think about when you're reading a comic book. You don't think, like, boy, you know, some guy sat here for 9 hours and probably lettered this, you know, 2 pages of dialogue.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about that and when you understand that, it gives you a much greater appreciation for what goes into it, you know, and to actually hear from these people, you know, and to hear their voices, and to hear, like, hey, these are guys that love comics just like me, you know. It makes comics seem better, you know, if you understand them better.
Wow, so, hey, it's not just a machine doing the lettering. Yeah, it's a real person out there, and it's a great thing to know, tell you the truth, because before podcasts, I didn't really know that. You know, I saw the name, but I never, you know, related it to anybody. I'm just like, okay, this dude pushes a button, and then, bam, letters. Like, no, that's... they actually letter the books. You know, it might be on a computer, but they're taking the time and effort to do that. And the inker, the colorist, you know, if anything else that's included in there, even the editors, you know, we get to know the process now, and we never used to be able to know that. So it's definitely helped that part of it, without a doubt.
And what are you thinking? How has it affected you?
Besides the podcast. Besides the podcast, it's given me, pretty much what, along the lines of what Mitch said, it's given me a greater understanding for the industry as a whole, because I'm not just looking for artists and writers anymore. I'm looking for colorists, I'm looking for anchors, you know, I'm looking for letterers that, you know, I've heard on podcasts before, or that I, you know, just know the name of now that I didn't know before. And it's helped me out. It definitely has, because I, you know, before then it was all artists and writers for me. That's it. I didn't care who else was on a comic, and now I can actually look for more than just that. And it's a liberating experience, you know, knowing that the medium that you've been in, that you've been into all these years, now has an extra layer to it, and it's pretty damn cool. It's pretty damn cool to be able to say that. So
yeah, and it's helpful if they're nice guys, which most of them are, aren't they? Or, you know, are ladies, you know. But these creators are nice people, and you get to know them, and it's just like friends, and you want to support them, and yeah, it's great.
Of course, definitely, without a doubt. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that pretty much says everything that we wanted to do there. And again, this is a bit of a departure from a regular episode of Comic Time. This is more of a thank you to not only the people who, you know, got me started here, but also hopefully to the listeners out there that, you know, that I thank you for the fact that you guys have stuck around for 25 episodes here. Even if you started with episode 24, thank you for listening, without a doubt. And I'm going to keep putting these out as long as there's people out there who, you know, want to hear it. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And that's pretty much the best I can say about that. I'm actually going to read some comments here from episode 24 that were left. And for those of you who don't know, that was Bruce Rosenberger and Matt S. and myself talking about comic book animation. And first of all, the man who loves every single comic podcast out there, Matthew Guy, has a lot to say here, so this is what he has to say. I really enjoyed the Super Friends on ABC. It was the best cartoon on TV at the time. I didn't like the ones with Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog, Scooby-Doo ripoff, but I enjoyed most when it included the superpowers with the Super Friends, comics, and toys as a kid. That was the best time to be a kid. Also, I enjoyed Spidey and His Amazing Friends, also from NBC. The 1980s was the best time for cartoons, hands down. I enjoyed the early Superman cartoons on VHS back in the day to keep me out of trouble. And that's Matthew Guy. What were your favorite cartoons back when you were watching? Denise, what was your favorite?
Well, the first one I saw was the X-Men 90 series.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that was what started this whole comics business for me. And then also the Batman series, which you know, has superior animation.
That would be the Bruce Timm Batman, right? Not
right,
Batman.
Right.
Okay,
no, no.
just wanted to make sure you weren't talking about Jackie Chan Batman for a second there. Okay.
No,
right.
I've only watched one episode, then that's enough for me.
Mitch, what about you?
I'm a big fan of the '90s Silver Surfer cartoon.
Oh my God, I haven't thought of that in years.
Didn't even know about that.
That shit was trippy, you know? Like, they blended together the cell animation and the CGI in a very interesting sort of, like, Jack Kirby-esque sort of mm-hmm. way. And I got such a kick out. And, you know, there are parts that were really lame, like, you know, Thanos couldn't be in love with Death because it was a cartoon, so he had to be in love with Lady Chaos or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
but overall, I thought the characterizations were really solid, and it was just so cool to look at. And it's got this great, like, opera theme song. If you go to YouTube, it's on there now, I think. Of course, I love the X-Men and the Batman shows, but that was the one that I was really sad only lasted a season, because I thought there was a lot of potential there.
Oh, definitely. And actually, I really agree with you with that, because that's actually what got me into Silver Surfer in the first place. I went out and I bought the first Silver Surfer comic I could find after I watched that animated series for the first time, and my only real exposure to him before that was when he showed up in the Fantastic Four animated back in the 90s. And
oh, right.
And it was really good. It was damn good stuff, but like you said, it only lasted a season, so I guess not enough people out there were watching it. I don't know. That was at the same time as Spider-Man Unlimited, right?
I think it was. I think it was before that. I never actually watched Spider-Man Unlimited, but okay. I think it was just after the animated series Spider-Man, the one with that also did the computer-generated backgrounds and everything.
Gotcha. Actually, interesting information on Spider-Man Unlimited. Their original idea for that was that he was originally going to end up back on the regular Earth just in time for the movie to come out, but obviously it didn't last more than that one season, so they couldn't do that. So they had a plan for about 4 years for that series that obviously they could not do because it got canceled long before then. So would have been interesting to see how that would have turned out had he actually ended up back on Earth in time to see the, you know, the Spider-Man movie happen. We might have had an animated cartoon while the movie was coming out, which would have been fun. What about you, Tony? What's your favorite animated cartoon for comics?
I like the Guiding Light cartoon.
No. Next.
No.
That's it. You're off the show. You're off the show. It's all done.
I would say the Hanna-Barbera cartoons, you know, like Top Cat, Flintstones, Yogi Bear, those sorts. You know, the animation was crude, I guess, but something so damn lovable about those characters. That, you know, they were produced like, you know, 10 years before I was born, but
yeah,
they were still playing them up into the 80s. I'm sure you can even see them on Boomerang now, I'm sure, but
sure, yeah.
Those are the cartoons that I you know, respond to.
And what about superhero cartoons? Any of those that you would consider your fave?
Oh yeah, the Fantastic Four from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, lousy animation, but you know,
Kirby.
Fun show. But yeah, but it had all the Kirby characters. It was a very Stanley Jack Kirby kind of a cartoon. Had the first Galactus episode and the Mole Man and all that. So sorry.
That Galactus episode, wasn't he green or something?
His skin was green. Yeah, that was just on the other day, actually. It's funny. I was watching that. His skin is green. I don't know for what reason, but
miscoloring, I guarantee you. Yeah, I guarantee you. Yeah, just like what happened with Smithers was black in the first episode of The Simpsons because of that. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, that's still another piece of trivia there. So, yeah, but I guarantee you, they didn't mean for him to be green. It's just like in any comic where they cover the wrong thing the wrong time, and that's
right.
It. Yeah, this one's from Mort Shaper, who actually does the Rogues Gallery here on Comic Geek Speak. So I'm
yeah,
sure you know him.
On your last show.
Yes, well, thank you. Love the episode, and I'm glad you mentioned the Spawn series, which I have here on video, and I love going back and watching every couple of months. That definitely wasn't for the kids, but it was done really well. You guys ever watched the Spawn series? I really enjoyed that when it was on HBO.
I never saw it, no.
Anybody here actually watched Spawn the animated at any point?
No.
Yeah, I saw it. I dug it.
You dug it? Cool.
That was an HBO series, you said, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, that was an HBO series, and actually, I think they might be making another animated feature eventually, but that's in the cards. The Gen 13 cartoon, one you didn't mention, which was a straight-to-video version, I didn't even know that this existed, that's why I didn't mention it, Damien, wasn't as highly mentioned as the others, but there was only one good thing going for it, and it was Alicia Witt doing the voice of Caitlin. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers ruined grunge, as far as I'm concerned. Oh,
what?
God. Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers actually voiced somebody in Gen 13.
That's okay.
That is insane.
He's also been in films as well, so, I mean, you know.
But still, man, I mean, jeez, it's Gen 13. I mean, it's not exactly the type of thing you'd expect out of a teenage character being voiced by Flea.
I don't even know. What is Gen 13 is what? What's the premise there?
Gen 13, well, see, I'd only be able to tell you from the most recent series that just came out, so I'll just give you a little bit of information here. Gen 13, from the most recent series that Gail Simone's writing, a little synopsis here without any spoilers. It's about a group of teens that were pretty much experimented upon and are now being wrangled up by this organization to be destroyed. And that's what I'm getting out of this one. I don't know if that was the original premise, but that's pretty much what you've been getting out of Gen 13 so far from the new series. So mm-hmm. I don't know what it originally was. It ended up being a retelling of the original origin, but they didn't include Pit, which is what I was really looking for. As for Teen Titans, I do really like the animated series, and I have to admit there is a lot of parts that make me cringe when they do the bad anime thing, but the stories are really well done, and that's what's kept me coming back for more. But that's enough from me for now, and that's Lord Shaper, otherwise known as Damian Smith. So, also another thing to ask you guys out there, Teen Titans cartoon, yay or nay?
I watched one episode, and while it's probably not for somebody my age, I thought it was fantastic. A lot of energy and colorful little characters, and it's a pretty decent story. I thought it was really good.
I've never seen it. I played the video game in the Toys R Us square, and that was really fun.
Okay.
But I think the style is, I think it's cool, and I have a little niece who really apparently loves it. She went to Starfire for Halloween. She's in Okinawa, Japan, because her dad is in the military. So can you imagine this little American kid like walking around Okinawa dressed as Starfire? I think that's so funny.
That's adorable. That's absolutely adorable.
Oh, I like how Bruce was saying on your show that he's got the he had the song stuck in his head for a while.
Yeah, thanks to Drew, actually. So
right.
Thank you, Drew, for getting the song stuck in Bruce's head. Denise, have you seen Teen Titans?
Yeah, I have, but I've never been able to get into the show because I can't get past the animation. I'm not really into anime, so I don't like the over expressions that they do and exaggerated. So that's really a cartoon I couldn't watch.
It's okay.
Often.
It's okay. I won't hold it against you that you like that you don't like anime. That's fine. That's fine.
Uh-huh.
Everybody has their likes and dislikes. So
I'm not really a big anime person either, Denise. So don't go back.
Okay, I won't.
This one's from Drawza. I also didn't like Teen Titans Go at first. However, when season 2 opened with How Long Is Forever, when Starfire goes 20 years into the future and Raven's in her white cloak, Robin has become Nightwing, Beast Boy is the one-man freak show in a traveling circus, etc., it seemed somewhat darker and I began to look at the series in a whole new light. Like you, Bruce, I just then somehow got it. I think from that point on, I watched all the episodes and even went back and watched season 1 as well. By the time the Brotherhood of Evil showed up, it became one of my favorite shows. Heck, maybe I should give The Batman another shot. I don't know if you should go that far, Drawza. The Batman is not really the best out there, but I don't know. That's just my opinion. But I actually, you mentioning just now, Drawza, that that season 2 has the 20 years in the future thing makes me kind of want to pick up those episodes eventually, because seeing Nightwing in anything is automatically a plus for me. I mean, Nightwing kicks ass. I'm sorry.
What about if it's Chris O'Donnell dressed up as Nightwing but called Robin?
No. That would be a no there. That plus bat nipples equals bad problems for me.
I didn't mind Chris O'Donnell as Robin. I just think the movie sucked. But
yeah. Yeah, the outfit was terrible, though.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't wear it.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. So, you know, I'll make sure that you never wear that for Halloween.
Let me say hello to Drawza. Dave Drawza. We met at the episode 200.
Yes, definitely. Hey, Dave. This one's from HDutch007. Wow, the second post I ever make, and it gets read on the air. If I had known that, I might have tried to streamline what I was going to say. Well, I have some bad news for you, buddy. This one's getting read on the air also. I actually think that Batman the Animated Series was at its best during those first three seasons before it switched format. I have them all on DVD, and while some of them haven't held up terribly well, they are still great. I have a hard time trying to separate this show from nostalgia, though, because it came on at a time where it caught me at a point where it really impacted me. I also think the X-Men Animated Series is one of the best comic tunes of all time. Great episode. I'm glad to be a part of this community. Well, we're glad to have you, buddy. So, glad to have you, and congratulations. You have yet another post read on the air. There you go. Actually, in response to HDutch007, Drawza had one more thing to say. I like the 90s X-Men show also, as the stories at least somewhat resemble the actual comics. I have a copy of every single episode, in fact. However, if you go back and listen to it now, some of the voice acting was so melodramatic. Professor X was a particularly bad offender with this, and Denise, you definitely know what he's talking about there. God.
Yeah, but I love that he's so over the top.
Yeah! Jeez, whenever Professor Xavier got hit by anything, it sounded like he was giving birth.
Screamed like a girl, huh?
Yeah.
Hey.
Whoa now. Screaming like a girl is not a bad thing, okay? Yeah. It's not a bad thing. And also,
I do it
girls
all the time.
Don't. Yeah, exactly. Whenever I see a roach, I scream like a girl all the time, definitely. But no, I certainly agree with that, especially Rogue's voice. Rogue's voice was just so annoying after a while.
Oh, the southern drawl, yeah.
Yeah, the whole
heavy southern drawl.
Yeah, because it was way over the top.
I didn't think Kurt was so bad. It was Storms that really got to me, and not really her voice so much, just the crazy dialogue they gave her. It's like, you know, she'd be trying to go out into the hallway, and she would be like, "Doorknob, twist and turn and pull back." You know, like, she couldn't do anything without, like, announcing it over a loudspeaker. Drove me crazy.
She had a rough upbringing, you gotta remember. She came from a tough childhood.
Heavens, let me arrive at the bathroom so I may sit down on the toilet and remove the waste from my body. Jeez.
How long did that cartoon run? How many seasons?
Oh, that ran, what was it, 5 seasons?
I believe five.
Yeah, and the 5th season had an entirely different animation style and was not nearly as good.
Yeah, that was
the Australian Wolverine that I keep hearing about.
No, that's not that. That's not that. That's Pride of the X-Men. PRYDE of the X-Men. That came out in the 90s. So,
okay.
Excuse me,
no.
80s. That came out in the 80s.
80s. Oh, okay.
Yeah, wow. With the entire cast from G.I. Joe, basically, were the voices of that.
I think that animation is almost better than the 90s anime. I just, the style of that seems a lot more consistent than the 90s series. Because on the 90s series, like, there are a couple of stock poses that the characters sort of always fit in, you know?
Yeah. Well, I agree with that, but also it depends on which outfits you like, I guess. Because, well, the 90s ones had those crazy ones with all the belts and the other one was the more classic, like, Burn look to them. So even the animation actually looked very Burn-esque, the 80s ones.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, but yeah, that's pretty much all I have here, other than, of course, the sponsor. But before I even get to that, I want to thank you guys for actually coming on here to ramble on for a little bit about the experience. And yet again, it was a lot of fun, you know, driving for 6 hours total with you guys once it was all said and done. And I would do it again anytime. Just name the place and I'm there. So without a doubt, it was really nice meeting you guys.
Yeah, same here, man. Everybody was really cool. I'm glad, you know, I had a ride to, I was going to go with a friend of mine who had a car, but he backed out at the last second, and I'm kind of glad that he did, because then I got to meet all you guys, so it was a real trip.
Yeah, we're cooler anyway.
So. Oh, you certainly are, yeah.
Oh, man, but no, definitely, without a doubt, it's been really nice meeting you guys, and actually, I'll do my sponsor first, and then I'll get you guys to plug whatever you want to plug. My sponsor, of course, is New York Comic Con. New York Comic Con is bigger, better, and has double the space with more gaming and anime for 2007. Come to the Jacob Javits Center February 23rd and 25th and experience the biggest pop culture event in New York City, featuring comics, anime, manga, graphic novels, video games, trading card games, RPG, MMOs, toys, movies, TVs, celebrities, podcasters fighting to the death, and more. Guests of honor include Stan Lee, Jeff Smith, J. Michael Straczynski, George Perez, Jamie D., and many more to be announced. For a complete list of guests, as well as show information, visit mycomiccon.com. Buy your tickets online now to ensure your spot for the 2007 show. Tickets are available now at a discounted rate for advanced purchases at mycomiccon.com. You can also book your travel arrangements online now on the travel page of the website. My travel arrangements are the subway. Don't miss out on the 2007 New York Comic Con. Visit our website to get all the information you need. And it's great being able to go to a convention and go home at night.
Yeah, it really is.
That's the best part about New York Comic Con for me, man. Being able to sleep in my own bed, it's heavenly. Absolutely heavenly. Yeah, no Econo Lodge for me.
I can walk from my office, too. That's what's really great. Like, I can go straight from work on Friday, and it'll be awesome.
Oh, that's great. Perfect. That's really great. Good for you, man. You got a nice location there, but I guess it's time for you guys to plug what you're on. So, Denise, I'll start with you. What's that Birds of Geek thing you got going on?
Oh, yeah, you know that podcast that Amy from the UK and I do?
So, never heard of it. Never heard
of it. Yeah, I know.
No. Yeah.
It's a little side project I'm doing, but yeah. We have the Birds of Geek podcast, which me and Amy, I'm sure everyone knows who Amy is at this point.
Yes, she's been on this show twice, so.
Right. And just, you know, us chatting about comics.
And you guys are gonna have a special episode with all the, like, reactions from CGS 200, right?
Right, that would be episode 10.
Oh, cool.
Which will come up soon.
Excellent. So, yeah, I know you don't want to set a date for that, so let's just say it's coming soon. So, Tony, you got anything that you want to plug? I forget. You with anybody? You doing anything?
No. I'll see you on the forums, everybody. I guess that's it.
Okay, cool.
And also, let me say, I love Birds of Geek, too, because it's nice to get a female's perspective on comics, so it's great. You've got a great show, Denise. Keep it up.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I actually would agree with that statement. You guys do a great job with what you do, and it's also great listening to a short podcast for once. So nice 30-40 minute thing as opposed to like 2 hours or something like that. Not that I know anything about that, of course, but yeah, but that's definitely a plus. And Mitch, you wanna plug your Silver Bullets gig?
Yeah, absolutely. But also, I want to say, Amy, great work on your podcast. Also, I always download two of them because they're so short, but I like them.
Two of the same one.
Yeah, I like to listen to them over and over and over.
I download them in two separate places, so I can actually have it in double stereo. It's great.
And Ian, also thank you for having me on here. And you know, this is a blast, and I wish we could drive to Pennsylvania every weekend because it was really great to meet you guys.
You know, if you want, we could totally plan something like that. Oh, yeah, definitely. No reason whatsoever. Just drive out to Pennsylvania and drive back. It'll be terrific.
Episode 213 or something, you know?
Hey! Oh, God, showing up at their door unannounced, that would be terrific.
Yeah, Ian, thank you very much. This is a lot of fun, and I wish I knew more about comics because I'd probably be on your show more often, but I listen every episode you put out, I listen to.
Well, I definitely thank you for that, man. And you know what, dude? Even without that, I'm sure we'll find something for you to actually be on the show for. So keep an eye out for me randomly asking you if you want to be on, without a doubt. So,
cool.
Yeah. Mitch, about that Silver Bullets thing.
Yes. The article should go up probably by Monday. It'll be on the left-hand side of silverbullets.com, www.silverbulletcomics.com. And the article is called CGS Episode 200, 19 Hours Without a Voice in Reading, Pennsylvania.
Terrific title. Absolutely terrific, man.
Have you guys ever read any Mitch's stuff before?
I just finished his article about She-Hulk and Boston Legal, which was terrific.
Okay, yeah. I read his comparison between X-Men From the Ashes against the Ordinary People movie from 1981, I think it was. It was great, yeah. Good writer. You're a good writer, man.
Thank you. I usually hear that I'm a very weird writer.
Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah, well, of course, man. You're a comic book geek. What else is new? We're all weird.
Yeah.
But you're weird in a good way. So, like I said, that She-Hulk Boston Legal thing was one of the best comparisons I've read, because I've compared that with my friends all the time. So I'm glad to see that other people out there agree with me.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that too, because the reason I wrote that is because I just thought I was crazy, and I had to prove that I wasn't by having somebody else read that. So thank you.
Well, I love that crossover idea you had at the end, man. I want to see that. I can totally imagine Denny Crane saying, "It's okay, I have experience with green women." But yeah, no, definitely check him out at silverbulletcomics.com. It's well worth a read, and just do a search for his past stuff, and you'll definitely find it. So it's just, if you do a search for Mitch Montgomery, everything will show up, right?
Yeah.
All right, definitely. So they have a search on the website, so go ahead and do that there. But yeah, definitely. Once again, thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks for everybody for downloading and all that. And there will be yet another special episode of Comic Timing coming out, and my lips are sealed on what this is going to be. But you're all going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun and exciting, and we're going to have special guests on, possibly at least three people that most of you guys have heard before. And next week is an episode I'm definitely looking forward to, as it's part one of our confidential crossover with Raging Bullets.
Ooh,
as next week we will be reviewing Superman Confidential number 1 as part of our 22 pages reviews here on Comic Timing. It's 22 pages number 2. Sean and Jim will be joining Matt and myself for an episode which we'll be recording on Tuesday, so it'll probably be out no later than Thursday of next week. It'll be a lot of fun, and then in December we'll be on their show reviewing Batman Confidential number 1 as part 2. So the first time anybody other than Sean and Jim are going to be on Raging Bullets, so I feel honored to be their first guests on there, and it's good to have Sean and Jim back here on the show. It'll be plenty of fun, and I want to definitely thank them for being a part of that ahead of time, and I hope you guys enjoy that too. So if you haven't picked up Superman Confidential number 1, you can still find it on the shelves. Go ahead and read that, and then listen to our episode to hear a spoiler-filled summary of that issue. So I want to get the props out there. And now it's time to actually end the episode. It's okay. It's okay. We'll have more later, I promise.
I love you guys.
Oh, I love you too, man. I love you too. It's great. And we're not even drunk. It's great. The email address. Whoa now. Well, that was great too. We get back in the car after we're at the bar, and Tony gets behind the wheel, and he's all, "Well, oh man, I'm so drunk, I can't even see right now."
Of course, I wasn't.
Yes. But still, for a moment there, I'm like, is he joking? please be joking. I want to make it back to Brooklyn in one piece, please. But we did, and we made it back to Brooklyn from Queens in speedy time. So.
And I was back to my house in like 20 minutes after I dropped you off. So
good. So my directions worked.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't give you MapQuest directions, so.
Yeah. Levenstein directions.
Oh, yeah. So go to levensteinquest.com. No, if that actually exists, I'd be very, very shocked. But anyway, the email address for Comic Timing is comictiming@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out those forums over at cgspodcast.com/forum, which are graciously hosted by the guys that we were talking about all damn episode, the Comic Geek Speak guys over at comicgeekspeak.com. We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network over at comicspodcast.com. Please vote for us on Podcast Alley. The links will be in the show notes and on the main page, which has been recently redesigned, so please check it out over at speakgeekspeak.com. Indeed.com/comic timing. I definitely like it better the way it looks now, and I hope you guys agree with that statement. Please send us your iTunes reviews on iTunes. That would be graciously appreciated, and it actually gives nice prompts out there to the show for everybody to see it. So go ahead and do that if you can. And also, just to let you guys know, there's actually a survey available for Comic Timing now on the front page of the website over at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing. It's the first link that's listed on the link section on the left-hand side of the website. It says Listener Survey powered by Podtrac. So if you'd like to fill out a listener survey for Comic Timing, I would graciously appreciate that. And if you guys don't want to head over to the website, there is a new post in the forums about said survey that has a direct link to the survey in question. And once again, we have ourselves a contest here. Suggest a topic for Comic Timing, and not only will you be on an episode of Comic Timing, but I will also be throwing in a John Cassaday poster of Captain America, which I've had for a long time now, which I'll be giving away, and also my first Sin City trade will be in there as well. So a brand spanking new contest here from Comic Timing, so go out there and be a part of it. And once again, to Mitch, Denise, and Tony, it's been a pleasure, guys, and New York Rental Riders away!
Yay!
Woohoo! And as always, there's always time for comics. What were you going to say just now, Tony?
I don't think I was going to say anything, but... Go on.
Yeah. Okay, no, because you're like slightly delayed from the rest of us here. That's why, like, when I hear you chime in, I try to stop talking right off the bat. But
Oh, am I the only one?
Yeah, just a little bit though. But that it's bearable enough. So nothing to worry about in the actual thing.
For
so.
You, it's throwing off my comic brilliance.
Don't worry about it, man. Once it's all edited down, nobody will ever know that this happened.